God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has brought us to life again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Come into his presence with joy and singing. So let's do that indeed. Let's begin by singing. Come, let us worship our God, for he has done great things. Yeah, nice clapping.
Come, let us worship our King.
You've Amen. He does do great things. All the earth and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Yes, you are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Sing that again. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. 'Cause you are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are here, mending every heart. I worship you. And even when I don't see it, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even Miracle World. sing, you are here, 'cause you are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you, 'cause you are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. Yeah, God, we thank you that this is who you are, that you are a way maker when it seems like there is no way, that you can work miracles, that when you speak something, you keep your promises, that you are a light in the darkness. Yeah, God, this is who you are. And we thank you that we can trust you to always stay the same in that regard. You are continually faithful. You are always full of unfailing love. And you are here with us, whether we are walking by still waters and quiet streams, or whether we are bumbling through the valley of the shadow of death. God, you draw near. You walk with us. You're always working, always moving, always bringing about your kingdom more and more. So God, would you continue to do that? Yeah, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We pray this in your majestic and holy name. Amen. Well, you guys can take a seat. And Lindsay, I think the kids can probably be dismissed. You can go find Shyla. She's wearing a cool hat in the back, and she'll take you to your kids program.
Yeah, I think they'll enjoy that more than hanging out with me. Welcome, everybody. Great to have you all here. The kids will be coming down a little bit later as we have our baptism service at the end of the service here. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Now, I recognize that in this room, there are some of you that do not realize the significance, the historic significance of some of the baseball yesterday. You laugh. There was history made. Listen, I'm used to that. My dad could care less about sports. He has no idea how he raised two kids who are so into sports. Like, I just don't understand, right? Like, we can be sitting in the same room watching the same game, and I'm getting emotionally invested to the point when my team's coming back, which almost never happens now, and I can get emotional, like it's an incredible thing, and I'm looking around, I'm like, what is wrong with you, Dad? Like, seriously? But you see, the same thing can happen to me sometimes when I walk and I see art. Art's kind of a subjective thing, hey? Not all art is the same in the eyes of every person who looks at it. And you know what? That's okay, isn't it? See, some of you who are art snobs are not convinced that's okay. I had to deal with that when it came to sports as well. And I'm big enough now to say it's okay if you're not into sports. Sort of. Right? But it's interesting that we can be there. My dad can be in the room and not moved. I mean, whatsoever, strangely. I can observe and witness some amazing art and be, I mean, can you be less moved than less than moved? Like, it just doesn't necessarily move me. And that can happen. We can be fully present somewhere, but not quite get it, not quite be impacted. And what Paul has been trying, we're looking, if you got a Bible or a smartphone or something with the Bible on it, Ephesians. We're looking at the book of Ephesians. Feel free to look that up right now. Paul was trying to help us understand and not miss this idea that God is fully alive and God does actually want to meet with us, and he actually wants to make a tremendous way maker kind of great God difference in our lives. But you see, I also know that it's possible to be in this room and you see some people raising their hands and they're closing their eyes and they're kind of swaying a little bit because they're feeling the Spirit, and you're going, huh. Not me. It's possible to miss God, isn't it? I mean, it's possible to, some of you are sunset chasers, sunrise chasers, right? And for you, man, when you see that, it just speaks to the majesty and glory of God. That maybe that's not for everybody. I don't know. Here's the thing. Paul wants us to understand that God wants to come alive in our life. That he wants us to come alive to God in all of our life, not just in this room, but in the rooms on Monday and Wednesday and next Tuesday and so on and so forth. See, today is the day to come alive in Jesus, not in a panic, not in a freak out kind of way, but with an intentional sort of urgency to live in and experience all that God has for you and for me, wherever we find ourselves. We saw last week that part of what is being talked about in this first bit of Ephesians is that God is trying to remind us, Paul is reminding us that there's this other dimension out there. The heavenlies. The spiritual realm. Where God is alive and very present and wants to be alive and very present in our lives as well. That he's come, and it says in those first few verses that he's given us every spiritual blessing. Like, he's just completely blessed us with everything. Talks about these riches that we have, this inheritance that we have through God, a hope that is unmatched, and that his prayer was that the eyes of our heart might be enlightened, that they might come alive, that we might know our God better and better and better. And so that's where Paul comes, and so he's just finished this amazing first chapter where he's sharing all these things, and then he comes to verses 1 to 3, and let's just read that together. It'll be on the screen here. I'll just read it for you, and it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." What happened to all this good stuff you started with, Lindsay? Well, this is interesting stuff that we kind of have to understand a little bit to truly understand the goodness of our God. You see this verse right there in the beginning of chapter 2, it talks about how we were dead in our transgressions. Now, here's the reality. We're not dead. We're alive. We're people. We're alive. Humanity is alive. But what Paul is reminding us is that we can very much live dead to God. Dead to sports. Right? Dead. Like, we can be there. We can be here, we can be wherever, and somehow just not understanding it, not acknowledging at all that there truly is this amazing God who wants to bless us with every spiritual blessing. Hope beyond hope. It says here that when you are dead in your transgressions and sin, is that you're following the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That's that other dimension thing I was talking about. That's this idea that's kind of weird, but it's real. Satan, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the adversary. And we're reminded that we've all gratified, if you like, lived out the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh are a self-expression. That it's about me first and not anybody else. It's all about me. And you see, when we see that, when we start to understand where that leads, we start to look around at our world and we see it, and it becomes clearer and clearer. It's horrific, really. The things in our world, when it is all about me and that's unchecked, right? The exploitation that can take place. The exploitation of young boys and young girls. The things that can start to happen between ethnic groups. When it's about me, it's about me. Scripture talks about how when it's about me and we're not considering others, that quarrels start to come up. Arguments, factions is what James said. Like divisions start to take place. When this selfishness is unchecked, we begin to live by the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. It is a selfishness that begins to take over. It takes us places that it's hard to fathom. Like, how did we get here? Like, how did we get here as a society? That's maybe easier to see, and we look at it, and it's pretty easy to kind of point our finger at society and go, no good, bad society. But how about us sometimes? How did we get to where we find ourselves sometimes? Our world is a hurting world. We are a hurting people that need these blessings from God that He might bring us alive. Raise us out of our death watch, if you like, our selfishness, our spiritual poverty. I know it's weird to talk about the kingdom of the air, this idea that there truly is an adversary, but when I look around at the world, it just makes sense to me. It breaks my heart, but I see the things that are taking place, and you can see it, can't you? John chapter 10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What does he come to steal, kill, and destroy? Life. The life that God desires for us, for you, for me, for us collective, for our society at large. And this is the other dimension at play, that this thief comes and he wants to destroy relationships. And it can be subtle, deceptive, but it's horrific. Now Jesus, our source, our creator of all, calls us to something more. He calls us to something far more beautiful than what we experience and what we see on a regular basis. And it's hard. It's not easy, but it's better for all involved. Now here's the thing. God comes to us and says, you can have it your way. It says right there, it's such a big word, and it's not a word we hear much, but it says right there at the end of verse 3, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And you can have it your way. You see, what's interesting about the description of that word and that phraseology as you look at the New Testament, you look at Romans chapter 1, and talks about how God gave them over to their own desires. He gave them over. He gave us as people, if we want, over to our own ways. But you see, what we get with that are the consequences as well. And the consequences are not good. They're not good. One author put it this way, the wrath of God is understood as a divine consent to our own self-destructive defiance and all the consequences that come with it. And that's something that's experienced as an individual. It can be experienced in family settings. It can be experienced in community settings. It certainly is also experienced societal. But it's not what God desires. He wants us to come alive. I love. Okay, we got to move to verses 4-9. All right, so right here. Because of His great love, speaking of God, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in the transgressions that we read about earlier, right? Like, even when we were dead, He makes us alive by Christ. It's by grace you've been saved, He says. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And so there is some hard news that sometimes we just have to hear. That in and of ourselves, without God, we are dead spiritually to Him, to His ways, to all that He has for us. But because of His great love for us, God raises us up and makes us alive, heals us, takes our brokenness. It's an amazing love. These words, rich in mercy. Do you experience a richness of mercy in your life very often? How about a richness of grace from others? I mean, it's incomparable. Talks about how He raises us up out of His kindness. That's quite a word to just all of a sudden throw in there, isn't it? His kindness. See, God wants to raise us up. He wants to bring new life to our everyday experience. You see, the saved is from this self-defining purpose or expression of life. And it's your call. You can choose whether or not you want to live and experience this or not. It's your decision. God reaches out and says, I want you. Would you like to walk with me? Would you like to do life with me? Would you like to follow me? Your decision. Today we're going to have 6 people who have said, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. Perfect? No. None of us, right? But it's what is going on. See, you can have a good life if you like, right? You can enjoy your art, you can enjoy your hockey, you can enjoy all these other things and this, that, and the other, and probably have a wonderful life, right? We live in Victoria, for Pete's sake. It's pretty nice. But there's more. There's more. So much more. And God offers us this new life through His grace. And it's a gift. And this is the thing. It's a gift given to us. It's not, has nothing to do with our ability. It's not things that we do. It's a gift from God. It's not based on our performance. It's not in some way that we can pay for this gift and somehow earn it in that way. There's not any way that we can kind of offset sort of this balance sheet depending on how well we live and all of these things, right? It's not how well we can, you know, sort of carry the burdens of our life, the mistakes we've made, the things that we've done to others. It's not about all those things and more. It's about God, out of His kindness, out of His desperate desire for you and I to experience all that He has for us, to raise us up that we might have life. Like to when we get to the point where we recognize, I'm just tired of kind of going on my own. I'm tired of where that leads me. It's amazing. Last week we saw and we were reminded that through the Spirit of God, like God just, He loves us. He comes after us with a love that cannot go away. Nothing can separate us from God's love. It says in chapter 1 that we're sealed by the Spirit of God. When we receive Christ, when we become saved, when we are a follower, when we choose to trust God with our life and to entrust our lives to Him, we're sealed. Nothing can separate us from God's love. It's crazy. It's so good. Says to us, come to me, all you are weary and tired of living and doing it your own way. Not by works. So that no one can boast. But it's a gift of God. And that's hard for us to receive. It's hard for us to totally accept that. We're doers. We're accomplishers. Right? Like we earn our keep. God goes, no, can you just receive this? I mean, the enormity of this gift, the blessing of this, the fact that the God of the universe who created chooses you and chooses me. In all of my brokenness, all of my promises made that I haven't delivered on, things I wished I hadn't said that I said, did that I wish I hadn't done. He goes, I understand, but I've got you. I mean, out of his kindness, it's amazing. Now, this passage right here, for those of you who've been in the church for a while, you know the big debate. Are we saved by works? No, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. You're absolutely right. But what's interesting here, absolutely right. Okay, did you get that? Saved by grace, not by works. I believe in, before I get emails or anyone says, Lindsay said, right? I believe in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. It's now recorded. Right? Not by works. Oh, so we're saved from our sin, from this deadness spiritually. But then you go right down, it's really interesting, just a few words later. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. It's right there. Oh, hold on. So there's supposed to be a change that starts to take place in our lives. I mean, these good works, this idea is that we're saved to then what? Be like God, who sacrificed for everybody, who served others, who blessed, who came alongside others, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. This is speaking of Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, right? Left heaven, where we all want to go, apparently, right? And came down to earth. And lived and dwelt among us. And lived a life and blessed and served and sacrificed and loved. It's amazing. We are saved by the grace of God and we're saved to a new life and a new way. And when we begin to understand that we are to become like our Lord and Savior who served us with his very life. That's when life starts to come alive. Gift of God, absolutely undeserving, oh my goodness, wants to bring us alive. And we come alive when we discover how to be like him, to serve. We're his workmanship. That's what it says in verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So what does that mean? Well, I read the life of Jesus. What did he do? He moved towards the hurting, the broken, the needy, the self-destructing, the misguided, the angry, the successful, the exploited. I could go on and on. He moved towards the world around him. Didn't run from it. Actually moved towards it. We're saved by grace, so desperately needed that we might come alive to this new opportunity to live like God, to follow our God. Let me pray. Then we're going to be able to celebrate some baptisms. It's going to be cool. Yeah. God, thank you. Thank you for what you offer us, what you come to give us. I can miss it. I can miss you. Like I jokingly talked about, God, I can be like my dad sitting in a room and that sporting event's going on and somehow I'm just not moved or touched or nothing really happens. And sometimes before you, God, I can do the same thing and I can just miss it. And God, I want to come alive in you. I want to know what it is to live in the richness of your mercy, of your grace, to understand just truly how kind you are. And that, yeah, I had a life, but yeah, I was dead spiritually to you until I was willing to receive that gift and to say that you, Jesus, are my Lord and Savior, and I trust you with my life. I don't even know all that that means, Lord, but I'm going to do that today, and I'm going to do that again tomorrow. And that, God, we want our lives to be changed to where we become like you. For your glory, God, and the good of our neighbors, our co-workers, our family members, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand if you're able, and we're going to respond by singing this hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. And while we sing that, I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. We're going to take up the offering, and then we're going to get to some baptisms. But first, yeah, let's sing this prayer together, really. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. I invite you to take a seat as we head over to the baptismal tank.
Awesome. Well, these are some of the best Sundays when we get to witness people taking their next steps in their faith journey. And so today we're going to be able to witness 6 people taking that step of obedience and being baptized. And before we get to it, I just wanted to remind all of us what this is, and also what it's not, because this is a lovely, warm tank of water, which is great, but we didn't add anything special to this water. It is just tap water. And so what you're going to witness today is not special for any other reason than because we have been commanded to do it by our Lord and Savior Jesus. And so when we welcome these people into the tank and they testify to their faith in Jesus, to what he has done in their life, and then get dunked under the water, it is a symbol. It is a symbol of what they have already done in their own hearts. They've accepted Christ. They have committed their life to Him, and they want to announce to all of you that they are children of God, that they are following Jesus. But there's also something a bit mysterious about it, because even as Lindsay was talking about today, there is this symbol of Christ's death and resurrection that we participate in. It's putting to death our old life and then coming to new life in Jesus. So while there's nothing special about this water, there is something very special and mysterious about baptism. And so I'm so glad you were all here today to be able to witness this beautiful act of obedience. So to start off, we actually have two brothers who both wanted to be baptized today together. So I'm going to invite the Erlangs to come on in. So this is Gustav, and I've known Gustav for, I don't know how many years now. A few years now. You were quite a bit shorter when I first met you, so I've been able to watch Gustav grow up. And for a while, you've been talking about the idea of getting baptized, been talking to your parents, and we've decided that now is the time, right? So Gustav has prepared just a little testimony that he wanted to share with you all.
I was about 2 or 3 years old when I first believed in God. I remember when I was 3 years old, I prayed to God for a baby sister. I prayed at school and at home for a long time. I was 4 years old when I saw an angel that said, "Do not be afraid. You will get a sister, but it will take a very long time." After my experience, I knew that God is real. He listens to our prayers and He answers them. I did get a little sister when I was 6 years old. I believe in God and I want to follow Jesus every day. I am excited to get baptized.
I'm just going to turn you around, not step off the chair. Okay. Gustav, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
And is it your desire to follow Jesus every day?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, because you requested it and Jesus commands us, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Lucas, Gustav's younger brother. And Lucas, you wrote out something too that you wanted me to read, right? Okay, sounds good. So Lucas wrote these words. He says, "Since I was little, I let Jesus into my heart. I want to follow Jesus, and that is why I would like to be baptized." That's awesome. So, Lucas, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
And is it your desire to follow Him every day?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, because you requested it, because Jesus commands us, I baptize you. Do you want to put your hand up? I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Woo-hoo! Maybe you do need the chair. Oh, that's okay. Come on over. And I met Tanya only a few weeks ago, but got to sit down and hear a bit of her story and hear why she decided that now is the time to be baptized. And you just wanted to share just a little bit before I baptize you, right? Yeah, go ahead.
It's an amazing day for me today because after let's say 50 years, I decided to be baptized because I grew in a church, in a Protestant church, but I never make a decision before to be baptized because I don't think it would be necessary because I was saved already, you know, I already gave my life to God. But then I understand that's a very important step to give to the Christian life. And anyway, it's an amazing day. It represents a lot for me today. And thank you to all to be here today and testify with me my faith and my commitment to follow Jesus. Thank you.
So, Tanya, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
And is it your desire to follow Jesus every day?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, because you requested it, and because Jesus commands it of us, I baptize you. You can put your hands up. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Julian has an awesome last name, Pleasant. He's a pretty pleasant guy, and you've probably seen him around because he has been attending SBC for about a year now, and is a big part of our tech team, so he's behind the cameras most Sundays. But different spot for you today in the baptismal tank.
Yeah.
But did you want to just share a little bit with us about your decision to be baptized today?
Yeah, I wasn't raised in the church, but I'm really grateful to have found my way back here, and I hope that through this early step in my faith and the next steps in my faith, I can just make a really positive impact on the people I meet.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, Julian, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
I do.
And is it your desire to follow him every day?
It is.
Awesome. Well, because you requested it, and because Jesus commands it of us, I would like to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Two more, and we have another set of brothers that wanted to be baptized together. We'll bring them both out. Awesome, you can see. Perfect. So this is Jared, and he regularly attends our Centennial Park campus, so has come on over today to be baptized, but I also know that he has quite a few people who have come to witness this today. But you have written up a testimony that you wanted to share, so you go ahead.
Yes, I was raised in a Christian home. I went to a Christian school, so I've always been part of this community. But I've always also searched for things on my own. I've done a lot of that myself. One of my favorite verses is when Pharisees are confused of why Jesus is eating with the sinners and tax collectors. And Jesus says, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." I think that's important to remember.
Awesome. And Vic Nordstrom has known this family and has been had influence in this family for many, many years. And so he just has a verse to share for Jared.
The verse that I find really helps me make the right decisions is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
So Jared, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
And is it your desire to follow him every day?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, because you requested it and Jesus commands it of us, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you've prepared a little testimony as well. So the mic is right here if you want to come so they can hear you. That'd be awesome.
So I've also grown up in a Christian family, of course, and we were always, you know, taught how to live and by God. But I think at a certain moment, comes like your own journey, and that I feel when I got older, I started to learn more about the stories of God and the work he's done in people's lives. And I think when I truly accepted Jesus into my heart was when I began to pray throughout the day and build my own personal connection with him. I think I feel anxiety is just calmed by God. And I think one of my favorite verses is from Psalm 23:1-4, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. I kind of feel like that has really guided me in life. And then, yeah, I also feel like just my relationship with God, knowing that he's never going to leave me.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And Vic has a verse for you as well.
The verse that I find myself needing on a regular basis, so much so that I keep this in my Bible so that I can find it easy and quick, is from Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4-8, or 4-7, I'll read. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So that's like a wow passage to me, and it's better than going for a pill.
Thanks, Vic. Well, Jack, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
And is it your desire to follow him every day?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, because you requested it, because Jesus commands it, I baptize you in the name of Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Awesome. It's one of my favorite things to see people take this step. It can be really scary to stand up in front of all of you people and have to be vulnerable in this position, and yet God really honors that step. What an amazing testimony that each of them has about how God has worked in their lives. Awesome. Well, let's just stand maybe, and we're going to sing one more verse of Take My Life and Let It Be. We're going to sing Take My Will, actually, and Make It Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. So let's sing this together. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy voice. We're so glad that you've joined us for worship today. As always, we would love to connect with you. If you're new, there's some cards in the seat in front of you. You can fill that out, and we'd love to get in touch with you, get you connected to our community. If you would like to pray with someone, we're going to have people available at the front here. We would love to pray with you, or if you came with someone and you just want to spend a few moments in prayer together, this is a great place to do that, so we highly encourage that. And as we go from this place, I just want to leave us with this benediction that's from Psalm 16, and it says this: as you go from here, know that God is always with you. Do not be shaken, for he is right beside you. He will show you the way that leads to life. So go in peace. Live in that way that leads to life, alive in Christ, and we'll see you next time.